His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kamasya na indriya pritihi labhaha jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jignyasa jignyasa na artaha yaha cha iha karma bhihi kamasya nendriya pritir dabho jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jignyasa narto yascheha karma bhihi kamasya nendriya pritir labho jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jignyasa narto yascheha karma bhihi
yascheha karma bhihi kamasya nendriya priti labho jiveta yavata
jivasya tattva jignyasa
jivasya tattva jignyasa kamasya nindriya priti labho jiveta
yavata
jivasya tattva jignyasa
narto
yascheha karma bhihi kamasya nindriya priti labho jiveta yavata
jivasya
tattva jignyasa narto yascheha karma bhihi
kamasya nendriya priti
kamasya nendriya priti
labho jiveta yavata ladies.
Kamasya nendriya priti.
Kamasya nendriya priti.
Labho jiveta yavata.
Labho jiveta yavata.
Jivasya tattva jignyasa.
Jivasya tattva jignyasa.
Narto yascheha karma bhihi.
Narto yascheha karma bhihi.
Kamasya, of desires, na, not, indriya, senses, pritihi, satisfaction, labhaha, gain, jiveta, self-preservation, yavata, so much so, jivasya, of the living being, tattva, the absolute truth, jignyasa, inquiries, na, not, artaha, end, yaha, cha, iha, whatsoever else, karma bhihi, by occupational activities. Translation, life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works, purport. The completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed toward the fulfillment of desires and sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification. In politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, and ultimately in religion or even in salvation, the very same tint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense satisfaction, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. Even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the absolute truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. But the Bhagavatam says that one should not live for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for self-preservation and not for sense gratification. Because the body is made of senses, which also require a certain amount of satisfaction, there are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses. But the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage or the combination of a man with a woman is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning, but foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the absolute truth. Seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification, because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth, and that sort of engagement will make one happy because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shachiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tine Smarane Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashe Hoi Nijavanchita Puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pretty much everyone who's tuned in to the news of what's going on in the world today can understand that there's something seriously wrong with the world. It's a big mess. Nothing seems to be going right. There's so many major problems, especially in focus, or especially in the minds of many people, the most intense and pressing problem is the environmental disaster, which is translating into the climate disaster, which was warned about for so many years that it's going to come upon us, and now it seems it's upon us, although some people say, well, it's not. That's one problem. Apart from that, the political situation in the world, the balance of, or the imbalance of power, the great powers, like dogs barking at each other, and sometimes they're biting also. And we're afraid that it may spiral into nuclear war. That's a big problem. Even locally, in any country, I don't know, are there political problems in Croatia? Must be. This is heaven. In every office, there are politics, pretty much. In every family, in every religious society. Politics, snapping, and dogs snapping at each other. And it can be worse. What other we are, so many people are going through psychological problems. Huge, huge problem. We didn't used to hear about it, but so many people are in America, so many people are, it's majority of the population have either consulted a psychologist or should have consulted a psychologist or are on some kind of drug for altering their mental state. Prozac was the great drug for the last couple of decades. Is Murari Gupta here, our daughter? Do you prescribe it here also? Something similar. Although apparently it's come out that it doesn't really do anything. Maybe it has placebo effect. Well, it does something. It makes the pharmaceutical companies rich.
We had in the village, someone gave Prozac to alcoholic. So when they combine,
when someone gave Prozac to an alcoholic, and when it combines,
then it's lethal.
Then it's lethal. So he died. Okay. Now you know if you want to kill someone. Invite them over for a glass of wine and give them some Prozac. Not recommended. What other have we got? We got in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world. Do you agree with that? If you don't agree with it, you're liable to get the gift of America on your head in the form of a Made in America bomb. So many homeless people you see in the cities, people living, have you been there? No. You've seen on YouTube. You can see everything you like on YouTube, including Bhaktivikaswami. So everywhere, all the big cities, even in small towns, people living under bridges, they have some kind of tent, some of them, the better to do people have a tent. The United States of America has seemingly unlimited money for defense, which means manufacturing weapons for killing people, and they don't have money to house their population. Well, that's also a problem. What else have we got? Disease problems. Dr. Murari Gupta, there's so much research being done for so many years on disease. Well, it's more for pharmaceuticals. preventive medicine is not popular because that's not profitable. But there's been so much, in fact, that kills all profits, preventive medicine. So there's been billions of dollars thrown into medical research. Did you, as a doctor, would you like to comment? Is there any sign of disease ending soon? It's everlasting, yeah. You told me yesterday someone phoned you up, they had what they had 102 degrees fever or some fever, and said, do I have leukemia? As if the doctor on the phone, you have a fever. You don't even get fever in leukemia, do you? Not sure. Yeah, fever is could be any one of so many different things. Right?
And this injection, this is a kind of operation, and they make money.
Preventive medicine in the form of, yeah, if it makes money, then they're interested in preventive medicine. Economic problem. People don't have enough money. Anyone feel like that? Pretty much everyone feels they don't have enough money. What's his name? What's his first name? Jeff Bezos. Is that his name? He's the richest man in the world, so we're told. He doesn't think he has enough money because he's working hard to make more money. He's got so much. Anyway, there are a few examples. Can anyone think of anything else? Problems in the world? War problem. Well, that's an extension of politics. As the war is an extension of politics. Anything else? Hunger. Come on, it's not time for prasad yet. Just be a little patient. Just wait half an hour, can you? Hunger problem, yeah, it's a serious thing. A lot of people are going hungry. The farmers are having problems with the climate crisis. We'll say Dr. Marianne Bilic, but we don't say Farmer Darko Kafka. It doesn't have the same prestige, right? What's your angle on this?
That's included in climate change.
Yeah, that's part of the climate. Yeah, the farmers. What can they do? Because when the weather's all messed up, then the crops get messed up. Then the farmers won't want to farm. And then what do? We eat each other, right? Because you can't feed the animals. So we'll end up in cannibalism. That's a good one, right? Cannibalism. We've tried everything else to be degraded. We didn't start that yet.
If somebody feels like that, then
he's
right.
Yeah. If someone feels I'm a cannibal, then you shouldn't infringe on their self-actualization. Gender identity crisis. Well, that comes under, I already said, psychological problems. But that would not be accepted by a certain percentage of the population, that someone don't know what the thing dangling or not dangling between their legs stands for and thinks they should have something else. Political, yeah, cultural divide. America, it's really getting intense in America. People are moving from different one state to another to be in a more whatever they think is. Yeah, in some people's minds, the greatest problem in the real problem is that people don't accept transgenderism. That homosexuality is now, that's just normal, right? It's just accepted. And then there are another big group of people who are saying that, yeah, transgenderism is a big problem, and that's a big focus in America. I just came from America. And there are other issues. Abortion is a huge issue in America. There's a whole set of issues in which right wing and left wing, they're opposed against each other, and it's getting so tight. It's going to come to, there's going to be some shooting, and it'll escalate, and it's quite possible that there could be civil war in America, except previously they had a civil war, and it was clearly North against South. But here, at the present time, people are, they're all mixed up, so it could be more complicated. Anyway, that's not exactly the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, which points toward Krishna. But here, we have a discussion of the bewildered material civilization. There's something wrong with the world, that's the point. Something seriously, anyone who is a little cognizant of what's going on in the world situation, can understand that the world situation is seriously wrong. And people want to make a solution, they want to try to make a solution, and they're trying to do so in various ways. People take sides on issues and people become pitted against each other. People become very committed to their position, and that adds to more strife. But underlying it all, there's a feeling that, well, it's bad, but we just need to adjust a few things. The pandemic, sometimes called the scamdemic, which Dr. Bilic, Mr. and Mrs. don't believe in because they were administering to it, that had its good side, inasmuch as there was much less fossil fuel being burned, much less waste being generated, and there were even signs that the earth, even at the present stage, disastrous stage of environmental crisis, could start to rectify itself. Nature could start to rectify itself if we just stop pumping all kinds of chemical waste into it. So, although we're told that we've passed the tipping point in the environmental crisis, still, if we were all to stop tomorrow driving our cars, putting on the electric lights, and throwing away garbage, generating garbage, then the Earth's situation would start to, at least it wouldn't be as disastrous as it is. Oh, and there so many factors, climate change, and the glaciers are melting, the sea level is rising, overfishing of the seas, huge areas of the seas are dead, nothing can live in them. These are big problems. But if we just listen to that girl in Sweden, what's her name? Greta, what's her name? Thunberg. How is it pronounced? You're a genuine Swede, Maharaj, right? How do you pronounce it?
Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg. If we just listen to her, then we'd all be a lot better off. Did you say something else? No. Okay. We have another big problem. Immigration. Spoiling Europe, say some. You don't care about it in Croatia because no one wants to immigrate to Croatia. And even if they do, you give them a hell of a hard time. Even though the here in this country is massive depopulation, mostly by emigration, but if anyone wants to immigrate to fill up the gap, they can come and do some work and go back, but you don't want them coming in here. So immigration, big problem. And if you think it's a problem in other people's minds, if you think immigration's a problem, you are a problem. So people are divided like that also. Islamification is going along with that. And if you think that Islamification is a problem, or if you even think that there is such a thing as Islamification, or that Islam is a problem, then you are a problem. And in this way, the world is divided in so many ways. But we just make some adjustments. Just send all those nasty immigrants back to the nasty places they came from, and everything would be all right in our wonderful country called Sweden. Right? That's what some people say in Sweden. Send back all those white, they don't have white skins. So we should throw them all out. And the people who don't have white skins think that, well, what we'll do, the real problem in this country is that they're not all Muslims like us, so we'll just convert them all into Muslims and everything will be all right. So people have various ideas of what we have to do to make the world a nicer place. And sometimes some people put YouTubes on videos on YouTube, not YouTube on videos. Videos on YouTube in which they talk about love and being nice and empathy, and they have pictures of people smiling, very slowly walking, with their hair blowing in the breeze, and an old man smiling at his old wife with the idea that they still love each other after so many years, and there's piano music playing in the background, and we all just have to be nice, and then the world will be nice, and there won't be any problems. However, we have here, Srila Prabhupada writes about, the completely bewildered material civilization. It's not just some little adjustment. All we have to do, all you need is love. All you need is love. Ever heard that one? The Beatles. Two down, two to go. You don't know what I'm talking about. There is, according to this, completely bewildered. So many people would admit that the material civilization is bewildered. Some would say it's bewildered because they don't accept that a child feels they're not in the right kind of body, so they should have it adjusted. So because people don't accept that, they're bewildered. And on the other hand, you have people who say that, well, to let children or to encourage children to do that, that's the bewilderment. Or the bewilderment is that we don't listen to Greta Thunberg. Sorry for the poor Swedish. How do you say it in English? How do they say it in English? Greta Thunberg, I guess they'd say. After all, I am English. Completely bewildered. Completely bewildered. What's the problem? What is the problem? Here, Srila Prabhupada analyzes, according to this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the problem is that everyone wants sense gratification. That is the root of all the problems. What does sense gratification mean? It's not a common term. It doesn't immediately enter into the understanding. If we're talking about psychological process of understanding speech, then if you speak to the even to a native English speaker, if you go to London, you won't find many native English speakers, but if you go a little outside, where would you find many? Maybe you have to go as far west as Reading or somewhere. And you speak to a native English speaker about sense gratification, they'll get tripped up in their mind. It won't instantly, if at all, it won't register in their mind what you're talking about. They know the word sense, and they know the word sense, and they know the word gratification. Gratification isn't a very common word. And then they try to put the two together, and it just doesn't. What do you mean? Sense? What do you mean, sense gratification? What are you talking about? Well, what it means is that we have here sense is not in the sense of that sense, synonym sense here, not in the meaning of sense. It's not in the meaning of having sense, intelligence, balanced intelligence, but it's in the sense of perception via the skin, via the eyes, via the ears, via the nose, via the tongue. In other words, we sense with the tongue, taste. We see with the eyes, objects. We hear sounds through the ears. We, the tactile sense, we perceive also through the sense of touch. We perceive differently. There are different kinds of touch sensation, and we smell through the nose. And as is stated in Bhagavad Gita, these are all grouped around the mind. It's all processed in the mind or in the brain, as neuroscientists tell us. So when the senses interact with the sense objects, there is, in many cases, there is an emotional transformation within the mind. Not always, because many things we see, especially in our peripheral vision, when we're not even consciously aware of them, and many things we see, they don't particularly promote any sense of like or dislike. For instance, you can drive to work on the same route every day. Again, you do that, right? Not so much. Okay. But many people, they drive to work, and then after driving to work, you can't even remember that you drove there. You can't remember, because you do it so many times, you don't even notice it. Just like when we come here and we see the fields and the forest, and we think it looks very nice. You don't think it looks very nice because you see it every day, and you just become accustomed to it. But certain things, they stimulate the mind, so that if I see a beautiful woman, I become enthusiastic. If I see a dead body, I feel my stomach churning. You don't see that because you saw so many dead bodies. You're my foil in this talk, Dr. Bilich. Foil means, you know what that means in drama, where someone is used, an actor becomes the object for the protagonist, the main actor, to say things and do things. There must be a similar term in your language also. So, certain things we see, they get the dopamine rolling, or the adrenaline. The adrenaline rush can be pleasurable or it can be unpleasurable, both ways. But it gets us, it excites our consciousness. And that can be either in a way which we find pleasurable or unpleasurable. I'm unpacking the term sense gratification. We do things which we think will bring us pleasure, and we try to avoid things and people and other living beings which we think will bring us displeasure. Now, over and above that, there is in human life a sense of duty in which we may do things which are unpleasurable for the sake of the broader good of society. We do what we are supposed to do, or because we have to do some things which we don't like to do, with the idea that if I don't do this, I won't get what I need for preservation and for sense gratification. In other words, we go to work every day. We don't like to, we may not like to, but we have to go, we're obliged, because we have to get the money so that we can pay our bills and we can feed ourselves and our family members. But everyone wants sense gratification. We like the thought, the very thought of enjoying pleasurable objects. There are so many pleasurable objects. And in the modern society, the opportunity for such pleasure has increased exponentially as compared to previously. Just for instance, on YouTube, you can get all kinds of entertainment which previously were not available to most people. Just like, for instance, well, even before the days of YouTube, music. Music used to be such a thing that most people would not experience very much. Maybe at a festival, maybe at a church service on Sunday. But it wasn't that you could have all kinds of music at any time of the day or night. It was an unusual thing. You'd have to have real people playing it. And most people didn't know how to play music. So it was quite an unusual thing. But now you can have any type. And previously a drama was something unusual. You wouldn't see much dramas. But again, on YouTube, you can have any time of the day or night, all kinds of dramas. Now they have cartoons also, so that's an extension of, even without human characters, you can have cartoons. And food, previously, in this area of the world, your food choices, and in every area of the world, our food choices were limited to what was produced locally and what was preservable. In the winter, you wouldn't get fresh vegetables, but you have to preserve them in advance. But now, especially if in big cities, you can get all kinds of food from all over the world and enjoy all kinds of things. And unlike us, if you eat meat, fish, and eggs, your varieties expand even more. So what does that mean? We should eat meat, fish, and eggs. But there's plenty in vegetarian items. Plenty of varieties. So the opportunities for sense gratification have expanded beyond people's previous imagination. Olive oil is much prized in, is famously prized in Italian cuisine. And also in France, southern France, generally the Mediterranean countries. And that is sent from one country to another, so that people in other countries, just like when I was growing up in England, we hadn't even heard of olive oil. But it's a common thing now, imported. Wine, people in Sweden can eat, drink Italian wine. Not at Olmec's God, I hope. Maybe some of them. But maybe. Or maybe they prefer French wine. French wine generally has the reputation of being the best. High class. In England, if you're fed up of English beer, you can drink Foster's Lager all the way from Australia. Australia. I think they probably make it in England now. The demand is so great. So you can get all kinds of sense gratification at any time of day. And the thing is, you have to pay for it. So you have to work and get some money, or you can be a criminal. And, well, that's also one kind of work. Anyway, somehow or other, you need money, and then you can get sense gratification. But even without money, you can still have sense gratification. You can, or with very little money, you can get drugs. That's another thing that people didn't have previously. There wasn't previously new drugs are being made. New kinds of drugs are being found out, which can be manufactured very easily and very cheaply, and which have psychotropic effects. And that super sense gratification blows your mind, as the saying goes. So there's so many opportunities for sense gratification which give pleasure, right? Why aren't people satisfied eating turnips in Lika? What was it previously? What was the staple food around here? Cabbage, not turnips. Okay, cabbage. So that was the staple. Why not satisfied with the kind of food they used to have before? In Sweden, I guess they ate barley. Was it? Barley, oats, fish. A lot of fish, some meat. Pine cones. Do they ever eat pine? There's a lot of pine trees in Sweden. A lot. Pine seeds you can eat, but it's a hell of a job to break open the pine cones and take the pine seeds out. So why aren't we content? The idea that, well, I can get more, I can try out something else. Let's try some different kind of food, enjoy ourselves in a different way. And the 1960s in the Western world brought in the sexual revolution, in which people thought, well, why bother just sticking to one woman and one wife or one husband? There are so many in the world, let's try them, try out as many as we can. And if you get fed up of trying out different men if you're a woman, or different women if you're a man, then you can try out the same sex also. Because if it gives pleasure, why should it be stopped? Bengali saying, or song that Srila Prabhupada quoted, Chok jodi lage bhalo keno dekbo na. Which means, keno dekbo na? Utar dao. Why should I not, if it looks good, if I like it, why shouldn't I look? Why not? Why are you trying to restrain me? So the idea is, definitely you're going to be happier, right? If you can have all kinds of ice cream, you're going to be happier than if you don't have it. Right? Makes sense. Because when you lick the ice cream, it feels good. Sense gratification. And that goes for everything. If you're going to have fine clothes, which feel good, look good, people look at you, and why shouldn't you wear them? Traveling around, I see these women have these bags, which don't seem to serve much purpose, but they have some brand name on them, some expensive brand, and they sell them for outrageous prices. One little bag, like 200 euros or something. Just some plastic bag, that's all. But they put some fancy name on it, and they sell it for a high price. And they're wearing it, and you see what kind of bag I got. You see, that subtle sense gratification, prestigious. You see, I'm such a fool. I spent 200 euros on a bag which only cost 2 euros to make. That shows I have a lot of money. The whole society is based on the idea we should have more and more sense gratification. And then we'll be more and more happy. But, the whole world's a mess. Why is that? We should be happy with our sense gratification. But it doesn't work. Yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yone evate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. We should go and tell this to where? To everyone in the world. That the happiness derived from the combination of the senses with the sense objects counterintuitively not only does not bring pleasure but brings distress. And that's from Bhagavad Gita. And from Bhagavad Gita also we learn that from karma, desire, that is the word in this verse, the point of this verse. From karma, desire, comes krodha, anger. When our desire is not fulfilled, we become frustrated and angry. Or if it is fulfilled, we also become frustrated because we don't get the happiness that we think will come from sense gratification. So either way, we become frustrated, we become angry, and then because we don't know what the problem is, we think, well, let me try another kind of sense gratification. That didn't work, let me try something. Or we don't even think it doesn't work. We don't even philosophize that much, just like animals. We chase one kind of sense gratification after another. We believe the myth that sense gratification will bring us happiness. But it leads to anger, and then what is the sequence? Dhyayato vishayan pungsang sangaste shu pajayate sangat sangjayate kama kamat krodho bijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibramaha smriti brangshat buddhi nasho buddhi nashat pranashati. Simply by thinking of the objects of the senses, we become attached to them. By coming in contact with the sense objects, we become desirous of them, we become attached to them. From desire comes frustration. If we don't get what we want, we become angry at all those people who do have the things that we want. Then we make some revolution, French Revolution, American Revolution, Russian Revolution. So many revolutions. Then krodhat bhavati. But in anger, our ability to think clearly, soberly, is lost. We become bewildered. Narottam Das Thakur says, what is that? Krodna kare kiba. What is that? That in anger, what is there that we will not do? We lose control of our balanced intelligence, if we ever had any. Krodhad bhavati sammohat smriti vrittih. Then we just forget everything about what we're doing, what we're supposed to be doing. Our intelligence becomes completely bewildered, and then everything spoiled. So this, in Bhagavad Gita, this sequence of how the intelligence becomes bewildered, beginning from the desire for sense gratification, can be applied to an individual person and to whole societies also. The whole civilization is bewildered because we think that we just have to make this adjustment or that adjustment and then everything will be all right and we'll enjoy the world. But that very thought is illusory, because the very idea that we will enjoy the world is the desire for sense gratification. Either gross or subtle, the idea that we should enjoy this world makes us unfit for attaining the real need of the soul, which is beyond sense gratification. This Krishna says at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, yang hina vyatante te purushang purusharshaba sama sukha dukhe. What is that? Dhiram, that's the word. Somritat vaya kalpate, someone who remains steady in so-called happiness and distress, who's not bewildered by the thought that this is good for me, this is bad for me. He becomes eligible for eternal life, for liberation. The completely bewildered material, the very point that it's a materialistic civilization means it's bewildered. And it becomes completely bewildered as we become more and more caught up in this idea of how we shall enjoy this world. This statement about the completely bewildered material civilization was written by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada in the early 1960s in Vrindavan in India, in which there was no gross sense gratification for human beings. There was for the pigs living there and the monkeys living there, but not for the human civilization. There was in India at that time, there was modernization wasn't there, although some factories had been started. The consumer society had not taken hold. And anyway, Vrindavan was a place where people went for performing austerities, for religious or spiritual advancement. So how could Prabhupada know about, when he was writing this, what was he writing about the completely bewildered material civilization? Was he seeing the future? In one sense, yes, and that is predictable, because in Kali Yuga things get worse day by day. Tatonudinam. What is that? Tatonudinam rajan satyam sochang shamadaya kalena balinam. Tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam sochang shamadaya kalena balina rajan nangshantyayur balang smritihi. In Kali Yuga, day by day, religiousness decreases. Tatashchanu dinam dharma, truthfulness decreases, purity and cleanliness decreases. Satyam sochang, tolerance decreases, the ability to tolerate heat and cold and difficulties, compassion decreases. Then shamadaya kalenaba, lifespan decreases, physical strength decreases, mental strength decreases. So it's predictable. But any material civilization, ipso facto, just by the fact of it being a materialistic civilization, must be bewildered. Whether it's the Babylonian civilization, or the Greek civilization, or the Carthaginian civilization, or the Vedic civilization, it must be bewildered if the goal of life is material, the idea that we will enjoy sense gratification. And bewilderment, we become more and more bewildered and we can't find a solution. And the more we try to find solutions, the more we become entangled. Therefore, what should we do? What should we do individually? What should we do? What is our situation, first of all? What is our situation? Nunang pramatak kurute vikarma yad indriya pritiya aprinoti nasadu manye yata atmanoyam asanapi kleshada asadeha. This is how we are so foolish and so bewildered that we think that sense gratification will give us happiness, but we're simply preparing ourselves for more and more suffering in this life and in future lives. Therefore, nayang deha deha bhajang riloke kashtan kaman arhate virbhujang ye tapo devyang putraka yena sattvam should yet yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. We should endeavor for that happiness which is beyond the kind of happiness that can be enjoyed even by pigs. Sense gratification is enjoyed by pigs, but and every species of life. They also enjoy. Every species of life is enjoying. But human life should not be on such a low basis as to try to enjoy sense gratification. Even to enjoy in a very civilized way by having a family, performing one's duty, not deliberately trying to exploit others. Even then, if there is no transcendental aim of life, it's sophisticated sense gratification. But human life is meant for more. Human life is meant for tapasya, which means denying ourselves or denying the senses, not ourselves. See how the language works against us. Denying the senses which we identify with, denying them sense gratification so that we can pursue brahmasukh, spiritual happiness, which is unlimited and eternal. So that's the problem in society, the quest for sense gratification. Instead, I was saying, even Vedic civilization is completely bewildered, or if it's materialistic, even if it's following dharma very nicely. Therefore, we have this whole series of verses in this second chapter. If you study carefully, you'll see it's all these verses are on the platform of discussing how to act in varnashram dharma. If you study carefully, you'll see what to speak of this atimalecha civilization that we live in now. It's a super, super degraded civilization. So that is the point. Individually and societally, we need a change of direction. We first of all, tattva jignyasa, we should inquire into the absolute truth. No one is inquiring into the absolute truth. Why the interest to inquire into the absolute truth does not arise in someone who is interested in gratifying their senses. The two things can't go together, as Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport. So that is the problem. Stop sense gratification and pursue self-realization. Anyone who is serious about self-realization cannot pursue sense gratification. Even if someone is religious, as is pointed out, he can be religious and still be completely bewildered being interested in sense gratification. The idea, I will be a good Catholic or whatever, and as a reward I will get unlimited sense gratification in heaven. Or I'll be a good Protestant and I'll get good Christian sense gratification here in this world in terms of money. The Protestant ethic, which you probably don't know about because you're from Catholic Croatia, and what the hell do you care about Protestants' ethics in America? The idea is God favors Protestants. So if a sign of a good Christian is you have plenty of money. Well, it's more than that. A Protestant should work hard, honestly, make money, and that's a sign that God is blessing you. The Protestant ethic. You can look it up on Google if you like. So that's the problem. Now, I've been speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam. Did I mention Krishna at all in this lecture? Something wrong with the lecture? In the verse, is Krishna mentioned? In the purport, is Krishna mentioned? No. First of all, in the Bhagavatam, there is this section is taking us to tattva nirupan. Finding out what is the actual subject that we have to concentrate on. And as Srila Prabhupada says at the end of this purport, what that absolute truth is explained as follows. And that comes in the next verse. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. Still didn't come to Krishna. That won't come for quite a few verses. Idang hi vishvam bhagavani. Srinvatang svakata Krishna. First we have to understand what we're doing, why we're doing. This is the philosophical approach of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a big, big topic. But the basic point is there. Don't waste our lives in sense gratification. The whole society, what is the problem? The quest for sense gratification. We should instead pursue the absolute truth. Hare Krishna. That absolute truth is Krishna. Hare Krishna. So one of the problems of society we heard was hunger. And I delayed you for a whole hour by the grace of Krishna, devotees are not going hungry. There's so many people going hungry all over the world. More and more that will be so. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I'm finished now. And you can all go and take prasad, cooked with love. Prasad means it's cooked with love. Offered to Krishna. Given back to Krishna. Given back by Krishna. With his love. You offer with love and he gives it back with his love. Then you distribute it with love. Hare Krishna. Give this back. See, I'm very renounced. This is all I take for breakfast. I need a little water also. Tamsulosin. You're also taking it. Pumpkin seed oil isn't enough. Whoa, that's too much. Okay, well, if you want to take prasad, you have to do a little effort. If you want to take prasad, you have to do a little effort. You have to get up. You have to get up and... It's not that you're going to sit there and someone's going to come and put it in your mouth. You have to go and get it. Yeah.